You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
As we're talking about out of a stump that life can come, that's where we're going today. That there can be something that is a place of death in a sense, something in a place of containment, something in a place that you think there is no other on the other side of that, and yet God can do something and he can bring life out of something that is tremendously difficult. That's an awesome thing. David and Kay are part of our church. We didn't download that off the internet. That's our people going out making a difference in a great way, which is wonderful. I want you to look in Isaiah chapter 11 if you have your Bible. Isaiah chapter 11, so Siena, Cyprus, downtown, Loop, Espanol, everybody turn, even on the webcast. Turn to Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 and 2 is what we're going to look at. Christmas is about hope. Christmas is about something springing forth. It's about the dead darkness of November turning into the wonderful lights of December. It's about something changing and hope going forward. And we're going to see in this passage of Scripture that hope can come when there seems like there's no hope. Something great can come of life when it seems like there's only the stench of death. And we're going to look and we're going to see in Isaiah 11. Now, as we've been journeying through Isaiah, I've been showing you time and time again, and I hope you've been catching it, showing you Jesus in the Old Testament. That Jesus wasn't just a New Testament idea later and somebody went, hey, why don't we come up with this guy? Hey, main character, Jesus. We were kind of tired of Moses. Let's do Jesus now and let's make up a new thing. No, he's prophesied from the days of old. We looked in Isaiah 53 previously and looked and saw Jesus Christ, his resurrection, his cross, his burial, all of that and how he can change our life. We're going to see in Isaiah 11, hope springing forth. Now, I want this to be two things. I want it to be inspirational and educational. We're going to learn some things together. We're going to understand some things together. And we're going to be inspired that God has a plan and he is able to take something that looks like it's dead and bring life to it. And he can do that in our very lives as well. That's what Christmas is about. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 and 2. Then a shoot will grow from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, a spirit of counsel and strength, and a spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. That first verse there, it says, a shoot will grow from the stump of Jesse, and a branch will come from his roots and bear fruit. So now let's get the characters right before we jump into what this means. Jesse is the father of King David. Jesus is the shoot that is coming out. So what they're saying in the Old Testament, all throughout the Old Testament, you basically got this problem. Prophets stand up and they declare, this is what God wants, this is what you should do, and the people go, yeah, and then they stop doing it. That's what happens. They just kind of go up and then back down. So your Old Testament is basically a whole lot of people saying, God wants you to walk with him. God wants you to walk with him. And the people go, yeah, for a time, and then they fall away again. So Israel is a stump, if you will. It's a stump. It used to be King David and Solomon and the temple and all these things, and now it's just this stump. Well, what's going to happen with Israel now? Nobody's walking with God anymore. Nobody's honoring the Lord anymore. It's a stump that is there. Even he gives another illustration in chapter 10 that Assyria, the enemies of God that are coming against Israel, it explains them at the end of chapter 10. If you just scan and look, you'll see some different things about trees and cutting down that Assyria, that he's going to cut them down. So here we have Israel's a stump and the enemies of God are a stump. And the people are like, we're doomed. We're hopeless. All we've got is a stump. We used to have this big, beautiful tree of King David and Jesse and Solomon and all this stuff. And then now all we have is a stump. There is no hope. There is no hope. Now let's define what a stump would be in our own lives. Let's take it out of the theological. I hope you're getting here. It's Israel's in trouble and Jesus is going to come out of this. And I'll show you how in just a little bit. Now let's take it in our own realms and say, okay, what does that mean? Let me define a stump for you. A stump is a place of previous life and perceived present death. A stump is a place of previous life and perceived present death. We'll show perceived in just a bit, because Jesus is going to jump forth from this stump. Here's what can happen. We can have stumps in our life, and God can still bring life to our life. Seems like life is over. Seems like life is done. Seems like all we have is a stump. And life can spring back forth from that stump. Now, in our backyard, we had a pear tree. Notice I said had a pear tree. Because we had this pear tree, and this pear tree would lean out, and it never produced any pears. It would just lean out. Maybe it was a fig tree. I don't know, but it never produced anything. Whatever it was some kind of tree to produce fruit that never did it. And it leaned out at about the 50-yard line of the backyard football game, okay, is where it leaned out. So being a good dad, I cut it down is what I did, right? Because you know in Texas, you can't hinder football. I mean, come on, let's be, and some of y'all are too green. You're like, you did what? Yeah, we cut a tree down on my own property that I own. I own that tree. I cut it down. That's my tree to cut down. It didn't produce any fruit, so it leaned out. So we cut that thing down because it would block the passes. It blocked neighborhood football. I mean, we got some football to do in the backyard. So we cut the tree down. But you know what happened? Because I'm not a good botanist. I don't even mow my own yard. I'm not good at any of this stuff. We cut the tree down. Well, I didn't cut it down the right way or take the roots out. About every year and a half, I got a new fig tree coming out of my yard. This place that I thought was death begins to shoot life. A place of previous life that I could look and say, oh, it's dead now. It begins to shoot back. And that's what happens in the believer's heart. That's what Jesus can do in your life and in my life. So what could these stumps be? Let's just identify some of our stumps. We could have the stump of grief in our life. We have the stump of grief in our life. The longer I've pastored, the more I see this stump. You just didn't have that kind of stump in college ministry. It just wasn't like that. But when you begin to move out into pastoring, there's a lot of grief, a lot of grief. And you look and you see this place where it used to be this blossoming life, and now you just can count the life rings of the stump. And it's hard. It's difficult just to sit under the shade of those trees, that tree, and now there's a stump that seems to be there, a place of death, an empty seat, a place that used to be on that side of the bed is where she slept or he slept. That room down the hall, those places, there's this place, this stump of grief. There can be a stump of anger as well, men particularly. We don't do real good like ladies. You do a lot better job of talking with your friends and getting those things out. Men, we just stuff it, don't we? We can't find an answer, so we just keep finding a place to stuff it, to stuff it, to stuff it. Ladies, y'all are great because y'all can talk for hours and never even think that there might be an answer. You just want to talk about it, right? Who needs an answer, right? Let's just talk about this. And so then husband shows up and tries to, like, we've guessed the answer in like 3 minutes. Why? Quit talking. Here's the answer. Bad move, guy. Bad move, bad move. So men, we stuff things over and over and over, so we end up with this stump of anger where something can set us off, and we can be mad about something that happened years and years ago, and we got this stump. We keep tripping over, tripping over, tripping over a place of death that's getting us, that's grabbing us. It can be a stump of anger. There can be a stump of marital issues that you're just not getting along, and you haven't gotten along for a long time. And it's not just Happy Fun Kingdom anymore. The honeymoon is well over. You know each other's tendencies so well. You can guess how he'll react before the issue even happens. You can guess how she'll react before the issue even happens. And what happens is, before the issue takes place, you're already mad at your spouse. Because you know what's going to happen. You've seen it before, for decades possibly. And we just kind of get a little tired of each other because it's so predictable. And we look and we have this stump and we say, well, it used to be great life out of this, but now I've got this stump and it's just kind of a hindrance. It's a hindrance and it's tough. We have a stump of doubt maybe in our life where we look at the things of God and God proves himself over and over and over to us, but we still go, but I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know if God will provide in this way. I don't know if God's really real. I'm not sure if Jesus is truly the Messiah. And we keep stumbling over this stump in our lives. We have the stump of doubt. We can have the stump of debt. And that can get ratcheted up in December better than any other month, can't it? So we can get the stump of debt where we're always falling over ourselves and we're falling down and we feel like it's two steps forward and three steps back financially over and over and over. And these stumps in our life that are places of previous life. I used to have my money in order. I used to not be angry. I used to believe everything. I used to not have grief. I used to be in this marriage that was awesome and incredible. But now it seems like it's death. But yet it's not death. It's a place, maybe a previous life in a different way, but it can be present life again. And that's what happens here. The stump of Jesse begins to blossom in a shoot, and his name is Jesus. Jesus brings new life. We see that also in the resurrection, don't we? The new life of Christ. See, if we don't take care of our stumps, if we don't get them ground down, if we don't get them removed, if we don't realize new life can come out of them, if that doesn't happen, you know what will result? Our stumps of grief and anger and marital issues and doubt and debt and all the rest, we could name 50 more, they'll become fear in our life. They'll become depression in our life. They'll become anxiety in our life. And this stump will fall. And we won't see the new life that Jesus wants to give us in the midst of this. That he wants to do something in the midst of this. He wants to take our misery and make it our ministry. He wants to take our hurts and make us caring for somebody else. See, he could take the stump and he can make it new life. Oh, but it can be frustrating when we look at life rings, but we don't know that new life can come out of that. How do you view your stump? Do you see it as a place that God can bring new life? Because that's what's happening here with Christmas. This is a Christmas story. The stump of Jesse. See, thankfully, Jesus gives new life. Thankfully, Jesus gives new life. That's the story of Christmas. And that's the story of Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. Jesus Christ gives new life. Out of a stump, a shoot can come. In Isaiah 53, verse 2, we went over this a while back. It says this, he grew up before him, so Jesus grew up before God, like a young plant, like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or splendor that we should look to him, no appearance that we should desire him. So Jesus is this shoot that comes out of this stump. Jesus brings new life. Isn't it great when you see something, a seed, come into something great, and you go, wow, it's amazing. Passion Conference will be in Houston in just a short time and also in Atlanta, and I'm going to be a part of actually the Atlanta one instead of the Houston one, not very convenient for me, but they have the breakout groups for the college ministers in Atlanta. So I'm going to lead a small group of college ministers, small group of 5,000 college ministers. So I'm not on the main stage with all the 20,000 people, but the 5,000 college ministers. So that all happens in Atlanta because we don't have room in Houston to do all that. So I'm going to Atlanta, and I was there in Atlanta recently and going through some meetings of kind of getting ready. And I was thinking about it. Louis Giglio, a familiar name to many of us, he started this whole thing called Passion. And I remembered, it's almost 20 years old now, 19 years ago. It's been going 19 years. So 20 years ago, I remember him speaking at the Loop campus and me sitting right out there. And then he and I went to dinner afterwards, and he said, Greg, I've got this idea. And it was the Passion Conferences. Now, who in the world would have ever known that a seed would birth from that, from a college conference, into being a nationwide, worldwide movement, and that I would be sitting out in the crowd listening to him preach in the church that 20 years later I'd be the pastor in? Do you see God taking things and just doing what he wants to do? It's crazy, and here we have the stump of Israel. Israel's got no hope. Israel's got no future. Israel's got nothing but present death and life rings to count, and yet a shoot comes out. And from Jesse to Jesus, it's 29 generations, not years. That would be really fast. 29 generations. If you look in Matthew chapter 1, 29 generations from Jesse to Jesus, and God is marching from the stump to the cross. He's going forward. Jesus Christ is the life giver. See, all through the Old Testament, come back to the Lord, come back to the Lord. Then you get to the what's called the interbiblical period. It's one sheet of paper in your Bible in between the Old Testament and New Testament. And that is the place where it says, it's just a blank sheet of paper. That's 400 years of silence from God between the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's called the interbiblical period. Jesus is marching through all 29 generations and then even through that 400 years of silence so that then the shoot would come out. Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is the new life. Jesus is what makes the stump into life. He is different. His birth was different than any other birth on planet Earth. Any other birth. I remember when I was about 8 years old, I was trying to be funny, and I was helping my aunt make the bed at their house, and I said, just trying to be funny, and you know when you try to be funny and you're not funny, and you're like, ugh, that didn't work. I said, I don't know what the big deal is about Christmas and about Jesus' birth. No one makes that big a deal about my birthday. To which my aunt, who's a believer in Christ, looked up and goes, well, Greg, you're not the Savior of the world now, are you? I'm like, well, you don't have to be that mean about it. I mean, you know, I'm trying to be funny here. He's the Savior of the world. He's the shoot out of the stump. He is 29 generations from Jesse to Jesus. He is the one. We do the Jesse tree at our house around Christmas time, around Advent, and we put some information in your listening guide. I hope you're taking notes, all campuses, but we got a little box there on the left-hand side that says some Jesse tree resources that you can get some. Basically, this is what we do in our home, and it's a wonderful thing. We print out on the computer these little pictures, and so my daughter in particular, she likes to draw on them, and so she's 7, and so she draws and colors all these little pictures, and then we hang them onto a little Christmas tree that's about this big, and it's basically the biblical story, Noah, Moses, you know, all these different things. So it's leading us up that Jesus is playing. We hang them on the Jesse tree to signify a stump has grown into a tree, and the biblical story is wrapped into that whole thing. He is Christ. Can you chart a path in your life of God's work in your life? Can you see God just moving and working in your life? I hope you can. If you can't, I'd really encourage you to investigate your heart and say, you know, where's my heart with you, Lord? Do I know you as Savior? Have I put my faith and trust in you? Or am I just kind of a Christian adjective? And I was born in America, so I'll pick Christian. Or have I really put my faith and trust in you and you doing something in me? Am I holding you off? What's the deal? You can see all throughout the scriptures, Jesus coming. You can see the stump with a shoot of Jesus coming from the stump of Israel to be the Redeemer, to be the one that comes. New life is found through Christ's direction, through Jesus' direction. New life is found through Jesus' direction. We're going to see this in just a second in this passage of Scripture in verse 2. We're going to see in verse 2, there's going to be, it's going to say the Spirit of God, it's going to talk about the Spirit, and then it's going to give three couplets, if you will, okay? I'm going to read it to you in just a second, so I want you to see this. It's going to have the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, then the Spirit of counsel and strength, then the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. So there are going to be three couplets that's going to be here, okay? So watch what happens in verse 2. Let's look. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. That's Jesus, okay? Now let's break that down. That's the Holy Spirit. Here it says, now let's break it down a little bit more. A Spirit of wisdom and understanding, that's 1 and 2. A Spirit of counsel and strength, that's 3 and 4. A Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. So now let's break this down. We got the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him. That's Jesus. You ready? Let's go to seminary for just a second. When do we see that happen? We see that happen in Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. You know, John 3, 16. This is Matthew 3, 16. We see it also in John chapter 1, verse 32. And it's the baptism of Jesus. He's baptized and the heavens open up. This is my son whom I'm well pleased. And the Spirit of God descends like a dove upon him. And now the Holy Spirit descends upon him. Okay? So that's that first thing, chapter 11, verse 2 of Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. Now, from that, we're going to get some ways the Holy Spirit shows himself. We're not polytheistic as Christians, right? We're monotheistic. There's one God. So it's not that we've got now 7 gods here that are happening in this. Now, it can get a little confusing because in Revelation chapters 1, 3, 4, and 5, it will be spoken about that there's the seven spirits of God. Have you ever heard that from Revelation? The seven spirits of God. Now, that's the Holy Spirit showing himself in seven different ways. There's not seven different distinct spirits of God. And it's coming from this verse here. The Spirit will be on him. That's one, right? Then there'll be wisdom and understanding. There'll be counsel and strength. There'll be knowledge and fear of the Lord. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So that's where we get our seven spirits of God. Got it? Now that's our Christianity. Now you ready? Let's go to the synagogue for a second. Let me teach you a little bit about Judaism. I hope you're hanging with me. I want to tell you about, this is what you see during Hanukkah, okay? Candelabra here, Hanukkah, maybe is how you say this. Ha-u-kiah would be closer in the Hebrew, okay? And if I pronounce it wrong for your Jewish friends, then just hang with me. I'm about as Gentile as you get, okay? This white boy up here trying to speak Hebrew, all right? That's all I'm trying to do. This is in Hanukkah, okay? Because in a book called 2 Maccabees, hang with me, we're getting smart here. Hang with me. 2 Maccabees, which is in what's called the Apocrypha, it's in between the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's in Catholic Bibles and Jewish, take it as history too. Protestants, we do not see the books of the Apocrypha to be on the same level as Scripture, okay? Some historical aspects of it, but it's not God-inspired Bible stuff, okay? But in 2 Maccabees, it tells a story of they had one day's worth of oil, but it stayed for 8 days, okay? So that's why this one is higher than the other four. So in Hanukkah, the Festival of Lights, that's what they're celebrating. That one day's worth of oil operated for 8 days. So you have 9 different candles that you put in. Okay, you got it? You hanging with me? This is not what I'm trying to tell you in Isaiah chapter 11. Okay, so you're like, why? You're telling me what I'm not? I'm already confused. You've thrown out so many big words in the last 5 minutes. I just don't know. Jesus. Okay, that's all you need to know. Okay, so, but I want you to see what it's not, because if you don't know, you're going to get confused as you walk later on, okay? So this is not what we're talking about, okay? You got that? This is what we are talking about from Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2, okay? This is called a menorah, all right? You see the difference in these. Let me show you. This one has 7 candle places. This one has 9 candle places. This one in my left hand, there's one that's higher in the middle. And then in my right hand, they're all even. So you see the difference? So this is for Hanukkah. All right, let's put that over here. And this one is a sign of Israel for, you know, basically they've got archaeological stuff all over the place. This is the menorah that's a sign of Israel. Now let me show you Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2 in the menorah. You ready? The Spirit of God will come upon him. That's the first part, one. Then we have 3 couplets. Our first couplet is this, our second couplet is this, and our third couplet is that. Do you see it? So that's verse 2 of what it's saying. The Spirit of God will be upon him. Then there'll be wisdom and understanding. They're connected. We'll see in a second. There will be counsel and strength. They're connected, as we'll see in a second. There'll be knowledge and fear of the Lord. And so we see this from Judaism, from here, Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2. Now, you see how similar these things look? You could get easily confused. The menorah in Judaism is what this is talking about. Now, let's see how Jesus is shown in this, okay? So here's what we have in verse 2. He renews our mind through wisdom and understanding. That's where it says the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him. That's the main one. And then the Spirit of wisdom and understanding is the first couplet, if you will. The branch is connecting. He renews our mind through wisdom and understanding, Luke chapter 2, verse 52. And he grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and with man. It's describing Jesus Christ. So when you become a Christian, when you trust Jesus as your Savior, here's what happens. Your mind is renewed. You're given the mind of Christ, Romans 12, 1 and 2. You have a renewed mind, and your renewed mind is wisdom and understanding. He wants you to think like Jesus thinks, understand as Jesus would understand, and walk these things out. So here we have Christmas in Isaiah 700 BC, shown in Judaism that he, the Savior of the earth, will have wisdom and understanding, and he'll impart that to us as the Holy Spirit lives in our heart. Number two, he guides our life. So the first was about our minds. That's the first couplet. The second couplet is he guides our life. So we go out to the second couplet, this other branch, that he guides our life through counsel and strength. It says a spirit of wisdom and understanding, then a spirit of counsel and strength. A spirit of counsel and strength. Think of the famous verse of Christmas from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For a child will be born to us, and a son will be given to us. The government will be on his shoulders, and he will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace. So he will give us counsel and strength. Counsel and strength. Do you in your life, are you like me? I need counsel. And then I need strength to live this thing out, right? Even young men grow tired and weary. So counsel me, Lord. You've given me a renewed mind. You've given a spirit of wisdom and understanding. And Lord, from that spirit of wisdom and understanding, we want to be able to then walk it out from our mind to our feet in counsel and in strength. He's got your mind, he's got your life, but he wants, lastly, more than anything, he wants your heart. He turns our hearts to him in knowledge and fear of the Lord. He turns our heart to him in knowledge and fear of the Lord. So the last couplet is that he gives us knowledge of God. We now, watch this, don't miss it. We now can know God through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Bam! Blow your mind. You can have a relationship and pray to and know him and have a trust father-son, father-daughter relationship with him. And he could take your stump, and by you knowing him, the shoot can birth forth. That's an amazing thought. That the knowledge of God, that he's given it to us. What was the tree they were trying to eat from in the garden? Tree of good and evil, tree of knowledge. And we get to know God and the fear of the Lord. The awe of the Lord. We saw it in Isaiah 6. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come, it says in Revelation, but is the Lord God Almighty. And Isaiah says, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips. They grab the tongs of the altar, they bring and they touch his mouth, and grace of forgiveness happens. And then the Trinity says, whom shall we send? And Isaiah says, send me. Because now the fear of the Lord walks out in the faith of the Lord to walk out into the function of the footsteps on behalf of the Lord. Do you see it all taking place? So here he is declaring, and the Jewish folks are like, oh, we got it. The Spirit's upon whoever the Messiah is going to be, and he's going to be here with this couplet, and then final couplet on the end, and it's all going to come together. And I want you to see in the midst of Judaism a shoot coming out of Jesse. Jesus Christ was not an idea somewhere in 00 AD. At least, and you could go further to the garden, I could give you a whole message of the cross being in the garden and an animal being slayed to forgive sins, and our coverings won't do it, and God's got to show up and walk and find us and get to us and slay an animal to cover our sins. That's in the Garden of Eden. It goes all the way back. Let's just for this message say this. For 29 generations from Jesse to Jesus, the shoot is out, and it's coming. What does God want to do with your stump? What's the place of life? That he wants to speak to your mind, he wants to speak in your life, and he wants to speak in your heart to make the shoot not a place of death, but a place of life. I was in my office this week, as usual, I'm there a lot, but I'd been given a gift 2 years ago, and I'd never seen this gift in this way, and I was thinking about the Jesse tree and the stump of Jesse and life coming out of a stump, and what could come from a stump, and how could a stump be made beautiful, and all those different things. And I was in my office, and then I saw this gift, and I went, that's it. That's the whole Jesse tree. So Thursday, I saw this and went, this is it. A church member gave me this gift. It's amazingly beautiful, but it's basically the Jesse tree, and here it is. Hangs in my office just like this. It's a stump, is it not? It's a cross-section of a tree that had fallen, a tree that was dead, a tree that was on its side, a tree that was laying down, and he took a cross-section of it, and then he began to sand it, and it's as smooth as it could get right here, and you can count the life rings. I tried to count one time and just lost count. I just couldn't count them all. And then in the middle of it is the cross. This is Isaiah 11, verses 1 and 2. The cross comes out of the stump. This is the Trickett's prison story of going from the prison to pasturing. This is something dead that goes into something alive. This is something that was gone and fallen, and a shoot came forth. And I want you to see, this is great theology right here, that the stump becomes the cross. Y'all should be applauding right now at every campus. Are you getting this? You see what I'm saying? This is amazing that Israel was done. You may feel done in your debt, done in your doubt, done in your grief, done in your marriage, done in your pain, done in your heartache, hopeless upon hopeless. And I'm telling you, Jesus Christ, if you'll put your stump to the cross and let the cross get about your stump, then life will shoot forth. Does it mean it's going to be easy? Man, does it mean it's going to be easy? No, but God's been connecting hard things. These two things oddly go right together, don't they? Because we see the Spirit of God from the cross and the couplets and all of these spirits coming out. Not that we're polytheistic, but that we believe in one true God who sent one true Savior so he could change me and you from the inside out. That's what Christmas is about, Charlie Brown. It's about Jesus from 29, at least generations back, being a shoot out of a stump. Take your stump to the cross and let it have new life. Close with this. Heard a speaker talk about a testimony he had heard of a father that had lost his daughter to death. She was just a child and she died. It was a tragic death. And he said that one of the painful places in his life is he felt like the longer it got away from that day of death, the longer it got away from his daughter in his arms, the longer he got away from that, every day felt like he was further from her. Does that make sense? So he kind of didn't want to totally heal because it felt like he was further from her. At every step of healing, he was further away. It was memories that weren't quite as fresh. It, of course, things he'd never forget, but just the day-to-day interaction was just getting further and further as the future went on. And then he realized this, not in Jesus, that every day he lived, he was actually getting closer to her in heaven. Do you see the difference? One of them is a stump of death, and one of them is a shoot of life. And the closer we get to Jesus, the closer we're getting to our loved ones in heaven if it's in grief, the closer we're getting to peace if it's in anger, the closer we're getting to financial freedom of God being the Lord over our finances if it's debt, the closer we're getting into believing upon believing if we have doubts, and letting that all happen, and the stump becomes the cross, and the cross becomes the shoot, and now life begins to come in your life so that you have hope at Christmas. So if you've been in prison, you can be in praise. That's awesome Christmas stuff. Judaism becomes Christianity. And if you want proof of God, just look at Israel. I mean, has anybody tried to destroy a nation more than destroy Israel? They made it through Hitler, and they made it through Babylonians, they made it through Assyrians, they're making it through ISIS, they'll make it through everything because God's got something going on. Do you know this Jesus? Last thing I'm going to say, do you know this Jesus in your heart? Have you placed your faith in him? Are you just looking at a stump and not realizing God has new life for you in Christ? Come in just a moment at every campus and place your faith and trust in Jesus. If you do know Jesus, are you walking with him? Are you living the abundant life that he has for you? It doesn't mean the easy life, but the life that there's new life even in the midst of difficult stump issues in our life. He can bring the cross from that.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us anytime you're near. We're located at the corner of I-10 West and the 610 Loop. Visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.